Well, I'm Bethania Allen Lay, and I'm here from the National Institute of Public Health in Mexico. And we have the Mexican School of Public Health, and we're CEPH certified, which is why some of us are participating this year in this event. And this is, we had a big discussion in the research team about who was going to be the first author. And since in this project we basically vote on everything, this was how it was voted, because I'm presenting it, but it really doesn't mean anything. This was a collaboratory, participatory action research project. And that's actually why the title doesn't have very much to do with what I'm going to present, because when we presented the abstract, we did it sort of in a rush, and we didn't really consult with all the members of the team. And after we consulted with them, it was voted that this was not actually the topic that they were most interested in having presented. And really, most of the analysis was done by Javier Arellano Ayala, but he couldn't be here today because he doesn't have funding to be here. He's a master's student at the in the reproductive health masters at the School of Public Health, and the other members are Ave de Mexico, which is an important NGO in gay men's health in Mexico. The other members are the participants, but they voted that they weren't really interested in being co-authors, even though they contributed to the study. And we have no financial relationships to disclose. Well, condom use is the main HIV prevention strategy used in Mexico among MSM, including gay men, and this study only included gay men, and actually only HIV-positive gay men. And in a recent online survey, although there's not very much research on barebacking, they did find that in a non-representative sample, that 50% of the sample, and I think the sample was about 1,500 men, knew someone who had practiced barebacking, and 14% said that they had. And the surveys, traditional surveys, indicate that anywhere from 50 to 80% of Mexican MSM report always using condoms. So then you have 50 to 30% who are not always using condoms. Those numbers actually go down for seropositive, HIV-positive MSM. So as I said, this was a collaborative study between an NGO, the National Institute of Public Health, which is where the School of Public Health is, and the members of this, the participants of the study, which we called members of the study also, who were young gay men who were HIV positive. And we started out with the general objective of promoting condom use among HIV positive young gay men in Mexico City. But after we worked with the different members, voting and discussing for a while, we had three specific objectives. One was to explore meanings and representations of condom use and non-condom use, but that was really only the public health practitioners' objective, and the other members of the study weren't really very interested in that. Then proposing inputs for a campaign to promote condom use among gay men in general, but especially young gay men and especially young gay HIV-positive men, and that was an objective for all members, but it was especially important to the NGO. And then to include HIV-positive gay men as health promoters and agents of change towards greater sexual health. And that was also definitely an objective and a priority of all three of the groups, but for the young gay participants, that was their most important objective. So it was a convenient sample of men who were 18 to 26 years old. Because of the IRB requirements, we decided to do it in men who were above 18 years old, although we do want to start working with adolescents, but we're having a lot of trouble getting it through ethical approval of having them participate without their parents' approval, which is sometimes not always complicated to get. And we recruited through word of mouth, through snowballing, and we did give incentives both for participants and for inviting one or two other men. It was very difficult to find men who were willing to participate because it was a longer term project that lasted a little over 2 months. But we did find 8 participants who participated weekly 80% or more, and others who participated maybe 4 sessions, 6 sessions. So we had group sessions where the group varied anywhere between 10 and 20 young men, 11 group sessions. And we had a first session where topics and activities were proposed, but also the participants voted about what activities they wanted to do and didn't want to do, and what objectives and priorities the group would have. We did some focus groups that were guided discussions, and then we had sort of a revolution within the group where they said they didn't want to do focus groups anymore because that was boring, so we stopped doing that. And then we had more dynamic activities to generate more discussion, more ideas, and to make it more participatory. We made small groups within, like if there were 12 people in the group that day, we would do 3-person groups to develop proposals for the Condom Promotion Campaign, which is what one of the two things that the young men participating were most interested in. The other thing they were interested in was basically sharing experiences and problems and trying to do sort of group problem solving of issues they had. Then there were activities where we developed the actual proposals for the campaign, and we're going to see the end point of that, or the outcome. And we consulted that. Well, basically, the group of participants came up with ideas, and then that was discussed in the NGO, and then the public health professionals were then brought into the discussion to give our opinions and our expertise, you know, because we already had the NGO expertise and we already had the participant expertise. And then an artist from the gay community was brought in to make the posters that were being proposed. Once the posters were made and once the final report was done, it was presented to the group members, and as I said, it changed pretty radically in terms of the report. And then there was a final production of the campaign materials and of this paper. And we generally used field notes because we didn't have very much funding, so we didn't have enough funding for transcription of taped sessions. Some of the sessions would have been very hard to tape. It would be great if we could have the focus groups that did take place taped, but we probably should have done that and then hoped for getting funding later, but we didn't do that. And I think a really important part of the analysis was, yes, it was a qualitative analysis using in vivo, but also presenting the results to the participants and having them sort of deconstruct that and saying, you know, well, that doesn't make sense to me, and you know, I don't see myself there, and reformulating that based on their ideas and reactions. So the topics that that the group defined were men's physical health and safer sex practices in terms of exposure to STIs, antiretroviral use, emotional and psychological health, interactions with their families, relations with their partners, be that casual partners or more permanent partners, dealing with stigma and discrimination, both of being HIV positive and of being gay, and inputs, of course, for the Safer Sex campaign. So trying to think about the results, the young men considered men sexually attractive and someone they would want to have sex with when they were highly muscled, when they were very physically fit, with very large penises. They talked a lot about living their sexuality. And living their sexuality means having sex often, and that's considered common, but especially normal and very healthy. And it's unhealthy in their perception to not have sex a lot. And you know, some men said, you know, a day without having sex is a day lost, especially now that I know I'm HIV positive and I sort of have less days left. So I really want to live my sexuality. And part of living healthy as an HIV positive man was having sex a lot. Many sexual encounters but also social relationships came from participating in chat rooms. And some of those relationships became sexual relationships and some didn't. And some of them became sexual and social relationships. And many men used chat rooms daily but for socializing and for finding sex partners. Generally, although we didn't measure this in a quantitative way, but reported condom use was very low. It was relatively infrequent and it was somewhat inconsistent. There was basically no knowledge about harm reduction strategies as alternatives for condom use, and so no use of that, hardly at all, except I think in one or two participants. The main reason to not use condoms was, well, you know, I already have HIV, the worst has already happened to me, so there's no real reason to use them. There was initially not very much importance assigned to acquiring other STIs, but and this is really wrong the way we put this there, or the way I put this there, which is it wasn't really with greater information, because it wasn't just information. It was information that they acquired from a peer, because the coordinator of the group was not HIV positive, but is a young gay man who works at the, he's the master's student who did the analysis. And many of them already knew him from the community and from being an activist, and because he works at the HIV clinic, treatment clinic in Mexico City, which is the largest clinic in Latin America with the largest population. So it was information provided by him and then discussed and appropriated by the group, not just information, but really working on it and trying to appropriate it into their lives. So once they had this group process and this socialization of the information, then the importance of being exposed to STIs and especially to HPV, human papillomavirus, did become a priority in this group. And of course, there were among these young men issues and concerns about infecting other people, but moving from thinking about that and even being worried about that and, you know, not wanting to infect other people to really doing something about it is a process that's not that easy, and you need a space where you can reflect on that and social support to move towards that, because just thinking about it isn't the same as actually being able to act on it. There's a lot of different factors that go into that in a lot of situations. So these are some of the posters, and he says, do you like it like this, or do you like me like this? Come with me, we're gonna do it. I have it in my hand, which could be a condom or a penis, ready to use. Let's enjoy our sexuality with a condom even more. And this one says, look at me, do you wanna touch me? Let's go. With safety, pleasure is better. And it was a lot easier, I think, to do this because the director of our National AIDS program, who is also the HIV treatment clinic is within that program, is openly gay and HIV positive. So that made it a lot easier for us to get it through. But at our institute, this wasn't an issue either with that is true with the IRB board. This was not an issue. Now there is no below the waist drawings in these pictures, so that was an issue. But at least we could go this far. So this one says protected sex is also from love or because of love. And this says let's live the moment, you and I, and as many as you want. I have a number of condoms is understood. Come close, we're gonna have a good time. With more condoms, it's better, or a better time. So, although recruitment was initially difficult, at the end of the 11 sessions, the participants did say the group was a space where they felt they could be themselves, be with people like me, share experiences, learn more about self-care and health, and learn skills or strategies for better quality of life and greater health. And I think that for future research, what we're thinking about is trying to replicate the experience, but with more in-depth qualitative research of it and doing some quantitative evaluation before and after. So this was sort of a pilot project to get people involved, and hopefully one of the members of the group would then become or more than one would then become the group coordinator, so that the group would actually be coordinated by a young HIV-positive man. And that's it. Thank you.
Awesome.